Now we're going to turn this evening, please, in God's Word to the New Testament book of the Acts of the Apostles. We're turning to Acts chapter number 11, and we're reading just from the verse number 19 of the chapter, going down just to the end of the verse number 26. And I would certainly encourage you, wherever you are listening in, to get out your Bible and read along with us and just pray for God's blessing upon the reading of His Word to our hearts. God has promised that His Word will not return unto Him void, and you pray that the Lord will bless it to your heart and to all who would listen this evening. Acts chapter 11 and the verse number 19. Let us hear the Word of the Lord as we read it together this evening. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none, but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 26. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of His eternal and infallible Word to all our hearts. Now, the words I want you to look at with me tonight are those final words there of verse number 23 of Acts chapter number 11, where it says, "And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Now, following the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr in the New Testament church, there were days of persecution. And the result of this was that God's people were scattered from the city of Jerusalem. And some of those who were scattered came to a place called Antioch, and there they preached the gospel to the people. The result was that a number of people were saved. They were converted to Christ. And a church there, a witness, was established. You see that from verse 21 of the chapter, where it says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." Now, news of the events, what had happened in Antioch, it came and it reached the church at home, the home church in Jerusalem. And as a result of this, then, the church in Jerusalem sent out Barnabas to visit the church in Antioch and to ascertain what was happening there and to no doubt report back on the blessing of God in that city. And we're told anyhow that whenever Barnabas comes to Antioch, that he was glad at what he's seen and what he saw of the Lord's doing. You see that from the opening part there of verse number 23, where it says of Barnabas, who when he came and had seen the grace of God was glad. He was glad in his heart. There was joy in his soul. The fact that God had moved and God had blessed and God had saved souls and established a testimony for the glory and the honor of Christ. He was full of joy, he was full of gladness and jubilation. But Barnabas also was a man of wisdom. Yes, he is known in the Bible as an encourager, but he was also a man of wisdom, and he knew that the important thing in the Christian life was to continue, was to go on and persevere in the things of God. He was a man who also knew that it was possible, yes, for God's people to backslide and to turn back from following the Lord. Therefore, he gives these believers here in Antioch a word of exhortation. And we find that word of exhortation there at the end of verse 23, our text for this evening, where it says, "And exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." He wanted to see these Christians progressing and pressing on in their newfound faith, pressing on in the ways of the Lord. My, just as this word of exhortation was vital for the Christians in Antioch, so it is also important, yes, for the spiritual well-being of all God's people. Yes, dear child of God, tonight, as you would listen, as you would consider these words, understand this, yes, for you and I also, it is important that we cleave to the Lord, as it says here in our text, with purpose of heart. This is something that is vitally important for the child of God. And that being the case, then, as we think upon these words of exhortation, there are three things I want you to notice just from these words here before us. First of all, note here with me the purpose of this exhortation to cleave unto the Lord. Yes, the purpose of this exhortation. It says there of Barnabas that he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And you will see there from what is said at the end of that verse that that exhortation there mentions the Lord. It says, cleave unto the Lord. Now, over in the book of Colossians, we're told there that Christ the Lord is all in all. In other words, he is all in all to his people. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is equal to all of the needs of his people and his children. This was something that the hymn writer testified of and said and spoke about. One of the hymns that they penned, for they spake of the Lord, and they could say of the Lord, every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see. On his strength divine relying, he is all in all to be. Therefore, God's people must maintain a close walk with the Lord if they are to prosper in their Christian faith. Indeed, this is why the believer must heed the words of Hebrews 12, verse 2, which speaks of the believer looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. This was something here that Barnabas realized. He realized this was something that was an absolute necessity for the church at Antioch. Yes, if they were to advance in their faith, if they were to see their needs supplied, they as a people needed to be those who cleave unto the Lord. Hence he gives this exhortation that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. Dear child of God, can I say the same applies, yes, to you and I also. Yes, if we are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, if we are to glorify the Lord in our Christian life, if we are to see our needs supplied in our life as God's people, then we must be those who cleave unto the Lord. That leads us then really to ask the question, what then does it mean? What is entailed here in cleaving unto the Lord? Well, cleaving unto the Lord really means us adhering to the Lord and his word as our teacher. You remember what Christ says at the end of Matthew's gospel, chapter 11, verse 29. He says there to his people, learn of me. And again in Matthew 4, he speaks of the word of the Lord and he says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. My, for us to cleave to the Lord means just adhering to the Lord and his word as our teacher. To let him be our teacher in life, that means to let his word be our guide and teacher in life. Also, cleaving unto the Lord means that continual dependence upon the blood of Christ for cleansing from sin. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Yes, it also means depending on the righteousness of Christ for acceptance and access to God, even in the place of prayer. Turn in your Bible over to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, and the verse number 18. You'll see this here for yourself, Ephesians chapter 2 and the verse number 18. It says there, and Paul is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, "For through him we both, that is Jew and Gentile believers, have access by one Spirit unto the Father." And there you see how it is through Christ, through his righteousness, that we have acceptance and access to God the Father. For us, yes, to cleave to Christ means us depending upon Christ, depending on the righteousness of Christ for our acceptance with God, for our access to the throne of grace and prayer. Also, we can say further this matter of cleaving unto the Lord. It means us relying upon the Lord for his help in every time of duty and in every time of conflict. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." It also means us looking to the Lord for comfort and for peace in every time of trial. Think of the words of verse 3 of Isaiah chapter 26. It says there, "Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." The Lord himself in the Gospel of Luke is described there as the consolation of Israel, the one who gives us comfort and peace in every trial and every storm. Then to cleave unto the Lord means us following Christ's example so that the life of Christ is manifest in our life. The Lord says, "Follow me." And believer, to cleave to the Lord means you following the Lord day by day in your Christian life. And it also means us obeying the Lord as our master. Remember how Saul of Tarsus addressed Christ when he was converted. He says, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" He knew that Christ was the Lord of his life. You remember what Thomas said of Christ when he met him after his resurrection. He spake of Christ and he says, "My Lord and my God." He knew that Christ was to be the Lord of his life. For you and I to cleave unto the Lord means also us acknowledging the Lord as the one who is Lord and Master of our life. It means, yes, obedience to him as our master. It was Oswald Chambers who said that the best measure of a spiritual life is not in its ecstasies, but rather in its obedience to the Lord. And child of God, that is something of what it means for you and I to cleave unto the Lord. Yes, we see here the purpose of this exhortation to cleave unto the Lord. But notice here, secondly, notice the means of this exhortation to cleave unto the Lord. Look again at what Barnabas says there in Acts chapter 11, verse number 23. It says there, "And he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord." Notice in particular those words, "with purpose of heart." And here we see that if the Christians at Antioch were to cleave to the Lord, then their heart needed to be right with God. It has been said that religion is a poor business unless the heart is in it. In other words, our religion, our walk, our relationship with God must involve our heart before the Lord. Likewise, believer, if you and I, yes, if we are to cleave to the Lord, then we must do so, as it says here in the text, with purpose of heart. Yes, the Lord says to you and I who are saved, he says, "My son, give me thine heart." It says in Proverbs 4, verse 23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." My, if you and I are to cleave to the Lord, then we must do so with purpose of heart. This involves our heart. This involves a right heart before the Lord. You see, child of God, in this world, you and I, we still have an old sinful nature. An old sinful nature that will remain until we enter heaven. Also in this world where we live, this world is a place that is totally opposed to God. The spirit of this world is antagonistic to God. Also in this world, we have to do battle with the devil. and the devil is our foe. He is our adversary, the Bible says. And the devil will use anyone and he will use anything to drive a wedge between us and Christ as the people of God. That's his strategy. That's his aim. To use anyone or anything to drive and cause a division between the believer and the Lord. Therefore, if we are to overcome these dangers, then we must cleave, as it says in our text, to the Lord with purpose of heart. Thus, as believers, we need a heart that is full of love to Christ, the heart that is full of devotion to Christ. Turn with me in your Bible, please, back to the Old Testament book of the Song of Solomon. Song of Solomon and the chapter number 8. And I want you to see here what Solomon has to say about love and the effects of love in the heart of God's people. The Song of Solomon, chapter number 8. And look, please, at verse number 6 and verse number 7. Notice what he says here. He says in the middle of verse number 6, he says, "For love is strong as death." And then in verse 7 of Song of Solomon 8, he says, "Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it." Love is as strong as death. Many waters can't quench love, neither can floods drown it, or if you like, overcome it. Here we see, dear people of God, how love and our heart for Christ gives us ardor, it gives us zeal, it gives us strength and boldness to overcome every obstacle that comes our way in life and thus be those who cleave unto the Lord. Yes, it was Matthew Henry, the Bible commentator, who said that love is the leading affection of the soul. And why we must cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. And if we're to cleave unto the Lord with that purpose of heart, we need a heart that is full of love for Christ and for the things of God, a heart that is full of devotion to Christ. Turn over, please, to Ephesians chapter number 3, the third chapter of the book of Ephesians. And I want you to see here what Paul prayed for the believers in the church at Ephesus. Look at Ephesians chapter number 3 and the latter part of the verse number 17. He says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And then notice these words. He says that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. There you see in particular how he prays that those believers would be rooted and would be grounded, he says, in love. That their hearts would be overwhelmed with love to Christ and love for Christ. And believer, this is how you and I also need to pray for ourselves and how we also need to pray for one another and our fellow believers in the Lord. We need to pray that we would be rooted and grounded in the love of Christ. You think of something that is rooted and grounded. Think of a tree that is rooted in the ground. It doesn't move. Even though the storm and the wind blows and the weather may be adverse, it stands firm, it stands strong. And Paul here knew that if the believers in Ephesus were to be rooted and grounded in their faith and stand strong, then they needed to be rooted and grounded in love for God and love for Christ. Their hearts and lives needed to be filled and overflowing with the love of God and with the love of Christ. The child of God is the same with you and I also. Such love, yes, is vital. We are to cleave to the Lord, as it says in our text tonight here in Acts 11, verse 23. If we are to cleave to the Lord with purpose of heart. You think of what the hymn writer said. They said, "I want, dear Lord, a love that feels for all, a deep, strong love that answers every call, a love like thine, a love divine. On me, dear Lord, a love like this bestow." And child of God, I encourage you, make that your daily prayer in your life as a Christian, day by day. But then notice one final thought here, just in connection with our text. Notice the scope of this exhortation to cleave unto the Lord. Look again at what Barnabas says there in Acts chapter 11, verse number 23. It says, "And he exhorted them all." That was purpose of heart. They would cleave unto the Lord. Notice that word "all" there. And that really shows you the scope of this exhortation, shows to you the extent, if you like, the reach of this exhortation. Here we see how this exhortation to cleave unto the Lord, it applied to all the believers in the church at Antioch. Applied to every believer, every Christian in that church at that particular time. To those who were young, to those who were old, men and women alike who were believers in that church. Here was an exhortation, and it applied to each and every one of them. Those who had been saved maybe for a while, and those who were just recently converted to Christ, young in the faith. It applied to every single one of them who named the name of Christ in that particular church. And you know, the same, yes, applies to you and I also who are saved. Dear believer in Christ tonight, whether you are young, whether you are old, whether you've been recently saved, just young in the faith, or perhaps are mature in the faith, have been saved for a long time, you and I, like each one of us here, are to cleave unto the Lord with purpose of heart. No believer here is exempt from this exhortation at the end of verse 23 of Acts chapter 11. My, if we should think that this is an exhortation that we do not need, then surely we are those who are in most need of it. For the Bible says, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." You think of the Apostle Peter, he was one who boasted that he would stand for the Lord and be faithful and loyal and true to the Lord. But a short time afterward, after he had made that boast, he denied the Lord, he denied his Savior with oaths and with cursings. Believer, that is why the Bible says to you and I as Christians, be not high-minded, but fear. Turn with me in your Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and the verse number 12 of that chapter. Notice what it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and the verse number 12, it says, "Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Take heed, lest he fall. Here's an exhortation that applies to every single one of us who are saved. Wherever you are, child of God, on your journey to heaven, whether you're young in the faith or older in the faith, whatever, none of us here are exempt from this exhortation to cleave unto the Lord. You know, sometimes it has been said, yes, of God's people, that as they grow older, they grow colder. Well, believer, may this not be your testimony. May this not be my testimony. But rather, with purpose of heart, may we cleave unto the Lord. Child of God, may Satan never find you at a distance from Christ. Don't allow anything to come into your life that will distance you from Christ. But rather, dear believer tonight, child of God, cleave to Christ. Just as a child would cleave to its mother. Cleave to Christ just like ivy cleaves or clings to a tree. Hold fast unto the Lord. The hymn writer says, "Savior, let me cleave to thee. Love the bond of union be. Lest I should e'er despond, keep thy dwelling in my heart." Oh, there the hymn writer speaks of their desire that they would cleave to the Lord. Turn with me back, please, to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90 in your Bible. And here you see the testimony of Moses. Look at what he says right at the opening verse of that psalm, Psalm number 90. And the verse number 1, look at Moses' testimony. He says, "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." He was one who cleaved to the Lord. Brethren and sisters in Christ, you who know and love the Lord tonight, deceiver, by God's grace, may this be your testimony also. When you come to the end of life's journey, believer, may you be able to say like the psalmist of old, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Perhaps tonight as you listen in and you're still unsaved, please realize that in your unsaved condition, you are one who are afar from God. That's what the Bible says about you. The Bible says you're separated from God. You're bound for a lost eternity in hell. You're not near God. You're not near Christ. You're afar from God. You're afar from the kingdom of God. In your unsafe condition, Ephesians 2 verse 12 says you are without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. And the Bible says, and without God in this world. If you're unsaved tonight as you listen to this message, understand this, that if you are to know God, know fellowship with the Lord, fellowship with Christ, pardon for sin and a place in God's heaven, then as a repentant sinner, you must trust in Christ. Trust in His sacrifice and blood alone for your salvation. This is what the people of Antioch did when they heard the gospel. You look at what is said there in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 and 21. The people came and it says that they preached the Lord Jesus. They preached the gospel. And look at the response of the people in verse number 21. In the middle of that verse, it says a great number believed. They believed the message. They believed the gospel. They trusted in Christ. And it says, and they turned unto the Lord. There was repentance, a turning away from sin, and a turning by faith to Christ alone for salvation. Oh, if you're not saved tonight, friend, wherever you are listening in online to this message, if you know not the Lord as Savior, may you follow their example. May you believe the message of the gospel. The Bible says, repent ye therefore and believe the gospel. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. Even now, tonight, wherever you are. And from this night forth, begin a life of cleaving unto the Lord. May God bless His word and bless His truth tonight to all our hearts for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Just before we close our time around God's word with prayer, just want to leave a few prayer requests with you. Please do please pray for the online services here and the broadcasting of God's word. Pray that God will bless His word to the saving of souls and the strengthening of saints. Remember the work of Bethel Children's Crusade. Pray for that as our sister records the messages and sends them out in DVD format week by week to the boys and girls connected with her children's ministry. Pray for Gillian as she does that, and as they hear the word of God, the boys and girls, that they would be saved, and even their parents and families be blessed also through the word of God. Remember the youth fellowship as they meet on Friday night as well, that God's hand of blessing would be upon them. Do please pray for the bereaved. Remember the Cook family in your prayers. Do pray for the sick connected with us. Remember Olive and Harold and Julie as well. Pray for them that they'll know God's touch and strength. I remember the COVID situation in our land as well. Do please pray for our home missionaries. Maybe you could remember to pray even tonight for our children's evangelists, Mr. Robert McConnell, Miss Christina Logan, and Miss Joyce Walsh, as they labor with the boys and girls at this time, giving the word of God out through social media to the children. And remember also our own radio broadcasts as well, Monday morning at 10 o'clock and Tuesday morning at 9:30. Radio Star 981 and Radio North 846 AM. Do remember these matters, please, in prayer. We'll just seek the Lord and look to the Lord tonight for His blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us around the Word of God tonight. Bless these words to our heart. Help each and every one of us tonight who are saved, whoever we are, wherever we are in our Christian life, to be those who, with purpose of heart, cleave unto the Lord. Lord, we realize that the devil would want to keep us at a distance from the Lord. But, O God, our prayer is that Thou will give us victory over every strategy of the evil one, that Thou would keep us close to Thee, that we would know that close walk with God here on earth, here in this scene of time, we pray. Again, Lord, remember the bereaved. We pray for the Cook family. Continue to bless them and strengthen them. Remember the Reverend Cook. May your hand be upon him for good, we ask of thee. Remember the aged and the infirm connected with our congregation, those that are shut in, those that are isolating. Be near them. Remember Mrs. Vance in hospital. Strengthen her. And remember this lady, Julie. Lord, may she know thy touch upon her. Remember Olive and Harold as well. May they know thy strengthening touch upon them at this time, O God, we pray. We pray, Lord, for our children's evangelists. Remember Miss Christina Logan. Pray for Joyce Walsh. And we pray, Lord, for our brother Robert McConnell as well, that thou would bless them. And even, Lord, as they would seek to spread thy word through various means at this time, online and different means to the children, bless them and be with them and use them to the glory of God. And even, Lord, soon may that door be opened up again when they'll be able to bring the word of God to the children face to face, week by week, O God, we pray. Again, Heavenly Father, remember the work of the Bethel Children's Crusade. May your hand be upon it. Bless the word as it goes into the homes week by week. Bless our sister Jillian as she records these messages. May she know the help of God. Bless also the youth fellowship on Friday night. Bless Colin as he brings your word. May know the help of God. Bless our young people, Lord. Those at school and university and college and these challenging times. Lord, bless them and encourage them and guide them, Lord, and direct their paths at this time and lead them in the ways of the Lord. We pray for all the families connected with us here in our congregation, O God, that they would know the blessing of the Lord, that each one of us, Lord, would know household salvation, we pray. Bless thy work here. The strength for our hand in God and add unto the work, O God, such as should be seen, and that even soon in the will of the Lord we might be able to meet together again in the house of God with the saints of God to praise thee and to worship thee, O God, we ask. Remember the situation in our land, O God. We look to thee to intervene. And Father, we pray, O God, that even through this thou wilt cause many to look unto the Lord even in their time of need. Answer prayer. Be with us, O God, each one in our several places, day by day, wherever we might be, until we meet again around the word of God. For we do pray and we do ask all these things in the Savior's precious and wonderful name, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen.